on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Cofield, Robert Smith, and John Sandler.
Welcome back once again here to Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield, along with head coach Marvin Menzies, as the runner Rebels in the midst of the rodeo road trip, if you will. The road trip which took us to Champaign, Illinois over the weekend is now heading us up Tropicana later on this week. Saturday late afternoon for a renewal of the rivalry with BYU. And we will reminisce a bit about those games in the past. It seems amazing the Rebels and Cougars haven't played one another since 2011. So it's been a long time, but I'm sure the feelings are still there in many ways. As I said, John, Robert, and Steve, along with head coach Marvin Menzies, and we'll bring Coach in right away. And Coach, you took your young team on the road for the very first time, and a couple of lapses, got down big, kind of two-thirds of the way through the second half, about 8.5 to go, and were down big and could have folded the tent and did nothing of the sort and battled back and had a shot to tie the game at the buzzer. And you had to be proud of the effort, although I know that those types of comments are starting to wear thin a little bit.
No, not at all. I think it's it is what it is, you know. At some point, you just say, "Hey, we're just all about getting better tomorrow, getting better today, trying to keep grinding through this thing, and understanding that, you know, as we build it, what's those say, growing pains, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna have growing pains. If somebody tells you you're gonna have growing pains, it doesn't mean that the pains aren't gonna hurt just because you know they're coming. You know, it's like, all right, I'm gonna give you a shot, okay? Oh, great, now it won't hurt because I know I'm gonna get a shot. So that's kind of what we're going through when we take these the lessons that are not in our favor and end up not being wins. But the guys have been really, really good about how they've handled it, and they're truly taking them like lessons. Like the last, I would say. These past, well, we were a little light yesterday. We just did some shots and film and stuff, but we went hard Monday, Tuesday, and then today. And they were really good. I mean, they were engaged. They're getting into each other. They're realizing when they do things the right way that they're seeing the results that they want. And when you go back and you look at the Illinois tape and you go, gosh, we didn't play that well. Like, we could have played so much better, and we still only lost by three. And I think those kinds of things are encouraging for them.
Well, and it's great to see. And Robert, Steve, jump in. I thought that last 7.5, 8 minutes of that ball game said a lot about the character of this team.
That's what I really looked at. You know, starting off a little slow, but, you know, that kind of comes with traveling and being away from home, sleeping in another bed. But the way they came back in that game, I truly thought the Rebels were going to win. But, you know, it happens the way it happens.
I thought you said something very interesting after the game. You always do. But you were talking about young kids and how offense sometimes spurs the defense. And when you were struggling offensively, the defense wasn't that great. And then Joel and Tomboy starts making some shots, and then all of a sudden everyone's all spirited.
Yeah, I think JTT, who's here in the audience, is going to join us tonight. I think he had a nice little jump hook. And then Joel had a couple putbacks. And those three, the contingent of those three, Joel and Bakke and JTT, were really, really good on the glass. And I think some of those easy buckets, that second offense, that create a little energy for us. And again, when you score and you're a young adults are motivated by offense. Let's face it. That's the sexy part of the game. That's the game. Nobody shows YouTube highlights of defense.
Of a lockdown,
maybe a block
on the
shot.
Ball defender.
Yeah, maybe a block shot every once in a while. You get a great highlight on a block. But just somebody doing the right things and being in the right position on the floor is never going to be a highlight.
Right.
And for that reason, it's not attractive as it should be to a young basketball player. So we get a little offense going, and then next thing you know, we get a little offense going, next thing the defense picks up. You know, and that's right. Just kind of how it works.
But I will say this. watching JTT and Mbakay Jong with their effort on defense.
And Joel, yeah.
Yeah, and Joel, you know, diving for balls. That, I mean, just seeing that energy, if you can get 6, 7, 8 guys doing that, it'll make a difference.
Oh, man, that's, you know, defense, you're always going to give yourself a chance to win.
That's right.
If you can really defend. And I think that's why we've been in the couple games that we didn't, you know, particularly play well offensively, and we had 24, 25 turnovers. We're still kind of there at the end of the day because of how we defended.
Robert told us a great story on the road before the game. He was talking about his team. So your teams were known for scoring,
right?
Over 100 points a game.
Right.
But you told us about the intensity in practice with defense,
right?
Where essentially if you didn't defend and come through as a defender, you just were taken off the floor.
Next man up. That was Tark's philosophy. If you didn't come in to go hard, give 110% every day, next man up.
Yeah,
and
you don't get a chance to score.
And
if you don't play D, hey, look, you can't shoot.
and think about that for a second, though. A lot of your points, you guys average like crazy amount of points a game, right?
110, 109.
Okay, so think about this. I know for a fact that I don't have to remember those games. I don't have to go back into stat sheets. I could tell you that how many points you had off of turnovers was fantastic.
Hey,
right?
We averaged 18 a game. People turned the ball over an average of 18 times. But everybody thought, oh, you know, they got so many good shooters. No. We spent a week just on defense.
Right.
Because he said, hey, if we don't learn defense and we can't stop anybody, I don't care how many points you can score.
Doesn't matter.
You know, no, it doesn't.
Doesn't matter. Like my friend Joe Esposito always says, doesn't matter.
Joe sitting down below our pregame show regular for his cup of Joe. Coach, what are some lessons you think the guys got from that Illinois game, from the trip, the experience, playing in front of a hostile crowd? They had a nice crowd there at the State Farm Arena and that environment that's going to help them, especially when we get into conference play here in like 11 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't script the routine of going through, you know, traveling and the airport and all that kind of stuff. You can't really script it. You have to experience it and sleep in a different bed and have to wait for your room key and have to do all these things. It's just real experience. They got real experience of what it is to go through a walkthrough on somebody else's floor, to have fans sitting behind that aren't supportive.
Right.
you know, the heckling and the little things that go on that you've got to blank out that adversity. So I thought that they had a chance to go through some adversity. And it surprisingly, it wasn't as rowdy as I thought it was going to be. I think our guys kind of kept the crowd out of it a little bit by just continuing to compete, and so that was good. But, you know, there was that. And then there was also some really, really good film that I think there's nerves that come in. Like Trey, you know, has struggled to get his offense going, but man, he was able to let loose defensively.
Right,
I thought he played really well defensively. Matter of fact, I think he had a steal.
Yep.
And he was always, as I walked back on film, he was always in the right spot.
Right.
So that's the one area you know that you can control on the road. And I think they probably learned that, man, we gotta stop. We gotta defend, you know.
That's
And he's, you know, he's a kind of young man that, I mean, everybody knows, you know, the offense is gonna come. That's like a non issue for me. But what I'm surprised with him and both him and JTT, and I speak specifically about them because they're here tonight, but that they're really very, very good defenders to be so young.
Right.
And I think that's really encouraging, and I think they're buying into that more and more.
Since we're talking about defense, I mean, it really is kind of a two-step process in learning how to play defense. And unfortunately, the way the game is today, because of the emphasis on offense and the way some of these kids maybe are coached in high school or AAU, it's all offense all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to teach them the basic fundamentals of defense as an individual, but then the concept of defending as a team. And we saw it a number of times, you know, last year, where if one guy is not defending as part of the group, the whole thing falls apart.
You know, it's interesting when you talk to, and I won't name the few guys on our team, but in their mind, they believe they are really good defenders because one-on-one, they're pretty good in defense.
Right.
Man, I can lock him up, or I can do this. I'm like, yeah, okay. I always have to start, okay, do you trust me? do you love me? Do you believe in me? Yeah, right. Coach, of course. Okay, let's forget everything that you did. And let's get back down to basics. So it's us stopping them. We talked about that a little bit last time we were on the show. And that's the concept that now, you know, what you do on the weak side and what you do, you know, on ball screens and all those kinds of things. Because every different teams teach different ball screen defenses. So you've got to learn what we're doing and then how that relates to not just impacting the ball but the three guys off the ball and yada, yada, yada.
Is the road different for you in terms of managing the game?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think now I've been doing it so long, it's not as taxing, you know. I just kind of have a better I've had more opportunities to go through, to have a road routine. So I have a road routine and I have a home routine. So I don't think it's, you know, actually sometimes, to be honest with you, I think I'm more focused on the road, because I know I'm going into enemy territory and my preparation is, it's the same preparation in terms of, you know, the thoroughness and so forth, but the mental engagement I have going into the game so that I know, since I know adversity is coming, the ability to know how to diffuse a crowd, the ability to, you know, keep them at bay, off our guys and things like that. I've got a few tricks up my sleeve that I've learned throughout the years that I feel like help my guys out a little bit.
John, you want to explain?
There is no one. I will put it at any level of basketball better at diffusing a heckler behind the bench than Marvin Menzies.
I've never seen, and I've seen a lot of coaches in my career that can handle the crowd the way you do. You kind of like, you know, put the fire out because they're coming off, you know, hard on you, and you go right in with them, and then they go, man, what do I say now?
There's no comeback. He did it at Reno last year beautifully.
Right.
But the one in Illinois was so classic because he coach was yelling something at the team.
Yeah,
and one of the fans started mimicking him and yelled it out at the guys, and coach just turned to him and said, yeah, you tell him.
The guy's like, okay. I told the guy, I said, thanks, man. Shoot, I'm trying to. I don't think they can hear me. And he just was kind of like, okay, that was a good one.
That was so funny.
I'm done at that point. But and it's so good. And I think it loosens everybody up. It keeps you with a little bit of a twinkle in your eye while you do the game. And it allows you to focus back on what you do.
On what you do. Because if you act like, and I tell my guys to try to blank it out, but it's impossible.
It's impossible
to not hear the chants or the sarcastic remarks or the criticisms or whatever the hecklers are doing. But it almost takes energy to block it out, right?
Yeah, it does.
But as a player, they're not in a position to respond. I have you know, I've got the microphone, so to speak, and so I can kind of protect them that way a little bit.
So where I was going with managing the game on the road,
mm-hmm.
do you get like 5 minutes into the first half and you're like, all right, I got to manage the officiating a little bit and the foul calls and also protect my guy. Does that sort of kick in at some point where you're like, hey, it's a little different on the road?
And it does, and it really just kind of is based on how the game is going because every game presents – a different script, so you've got to kind of say, okay, you know, there's only so many scenarios, right? So mm-hmm. you're down a lot, or it's a tie game, or you're up a lot, or you're up a little, so on and so. There's five or six scenarios that could exist, so that I have a routine for each one of those and a thought process of how to manage it.
So let's go a little deeper on this.
Sure.
I think you are familiar with Eric Curry, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, when there's an official, because it looked to me like, hey, I've worked with Eric before. I kind of know him. Then there might be another official. You're like, I don't know this guy.
Right.
So that's part of, you know, for coaches, I think that's a big part of managing the game and making sure you're kind of getting, you know, a fair play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing you better do as a coach is you better know their first name. You go on the road, and my guys give me a list of the officials and a picture of them and their name because it sounds like a really simple thing, right? But if you yell at a guy, ref, or you call him,
hey,
you know, hey, or hey you, or whatever, well, you probably destroyed that rapport right from the jump. So it starts with knowing their name, starts with a little bit knowing their schedule, like where they were, you know, where they're headed, believe it or not, because you can engage them in conversation before mm-hmm. the game a little bit. And I won't go into long details about that, but even on this last game, one of the officials had a very taxing travel, I know, to get there. So I had a little conversation with him on the side during the game and said, hey, bro, come on, man. Like, you need some five-hour energy or what? You got to sharpen up, my man. Because, listen, at the end of the day, the officials could care less who wins.
Right.
I think. I think for the most part, they don't really have a – I think some, maybe the younger, less experienced officials can be affected by a crowd.
Yep.
But the seasoned guys who've been doing this forever – They don't care because they know it's on video, so they better do a good job regardless.
Yep. I thought John had a really interesting conversation in the game with one of the officials because there were a couple of handoff plays on offense, and the UNLV players kept getting called for, you know, some sort of offensive foul.
And
John,
pick, yeah.
John calls one of the officials over. He's like, what's happened with this? Because this was never the case in the past. What did the refs say?
Yeah, I talked to one of them, and because it has changed, I said, is that a point of emphasis? And he immediately said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's a change, and it's hard because the guys have to get used to it. And the rule is now that if you're doing a dribble handoff, and as you are handing the ball off, if you are still moving and you make contact with the defensive player, it's an offensive foul. And that's not the way it used to be.
No.
No, and that's why they've made it a point of emphasis because a lot of coaches have figured that out and are getting illegal screens, in a sense, you know, put into the offensive side of the ball by interjecting those dribble handoffs and then teaching the little, you know, sidestep.
Little hip check, little shoulder,
Now, with that being said, they still screwed up some calls there.
No doubt. Well, but what was interesting, I said, so what do you do? And he said it's a matter of spacing. The official said it's a matter of giving yourself a little bit more room.
Yeah, and they actually, after you go back, you know, you're always caught up in the emotion, but when you go back, listen, they're going to miss some calls. I mean, they're human beings, you know. They're going to miss some.
Or close, yeah.
Yeah, well, they try to be. You know? So they're going to miss some calls, obviously, and you just don't want them. You just don't want them. For example, you want them to be – you just want them to be fair.
Like, and consistent.
Consistent. Yeah. Like, to be honest with you, And I think I could talk about this without getting fined, but there was a basket interference call on us, and then – or it wasn't called.
Right.
And then there was another one that wasn't and that was called. So, but in other words, it evened out.
Right.
So I don't think they were trying to – they just missed a call. And if they miss it on both sides, then what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, and we got to take a break, but there, just to
– Do we have to?
Well, no, we can just – you know, we can talk for about another 20 minutes and then just
roll,
sign off.
I'm ready to roll, JT. Let's go.
But as long as it's consistent, you know, I think that's what everybody wants. And I like it when an official not only comes over to the coach to explain whether he missed a call or whether explaining something, but I love it when an official during a timeout will say something to a player or while a free throw is going on and say, here's what you did wrong. Or if a player asks, and I love that, if a player asks an official, why was that a foul? If they give them, instead of walking away or big timing or whatever, if they'll explain, okay, here's what you did wrong. So the player has an opportunity to grow.
Great officials are great communicators with the players and with the coaches. It's in a nutshell. That'll put you at a point of ease and diffuse a coach right away. If he has, even if he's wrong, you say, you know, that's incorrect or that's not what happened. He said, well, you know, I may have missed that one. What am I going to do? Keep arguing that you missed it?
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back with Trey Woodbury. He's going to join us up here, and we'll give the local a chance to shine here at Bailiwick.
Las Vegas is on.
Absolutely. Hey, fans, remember the 2019 Nissan Rogue. It's one solid defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Make your car shine at Showtime Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana. Full service hand washes, detailing, and more. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday, $11.95 early bird special. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana.
The Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
Where you can win more, play longer, and let the good times roll.
Be relaxed in one of our spacious deluxe rooms and suites.
Be delighted while you play on one of the largest casino gaming floors in Las Vegas, all with your favorite slots and table games.
Be satisfied with 12 great restaurants, 70 bowling lanes, and 16 movie theaters.
Call 1-800-582-6278 or visit OrleansCasino.com to book your next day.
Just minutes from the Strip, and parking is always free.
Imagine an ER waiting room with your favorite blanket and pillow, your cat's Pixel and Widget, and your mom's chicken soup. At Dignity Health, we know the only thing worse than being in pain is being stuck in an ER waiting room. So we offer InQuicker. You get an estimated ER arrival time online so you can start your wait at home. It's just another way of putting leading-edge medicine within easy reach. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Dignity Health, including St. Rose Dominican's Rose de Lima, San Martin, and Siena campuses in Henderson and Las Vegas. Hello, human kindness.
Insurance doubt can pop up when you least expect it. Like when you're a rideshare driver and question if you're covered. Or when you park too close to a driving range and wonder how to claim 125, 26 dents. Or when you look up car insurance online and end up in a search result rabbit hole. If you have insurance doubt, call a AAA agent, visit a branch, or AAA.com/outsmart. Outsmart insurance doubt. AAA. Outsmart life.
At Walker, we make buying furniture easy. Let me tell you about Larry's Price, named after me. Larry's Price is honest, so you never have to worry about getting the lowest price, no matter when you shop. Larry's Price is unbeatable. It beats our competitors' so-called sale price in-store or online 7 days a week. We've already done the tough negotiations for you with suppliers I've known for decades. You can trust Larry's Price only at Walker Furniture.
Basketball season is here, and the only place to watch your Runnin' Rebels play on the road is Born and Raised, located on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern. Watch the game on our 106-inch HD projector screen, enjoy our Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra specials, and our award-winning Best of Las Vegas menu. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, is the only place to watch the Rebels play.
Here in Clark County, we love counting Rebel touchdowns, the seconds until another victory, and the thousands of fans in scarlet and gray. We also love counting those who say, "Count me in," to helping a child in need. Our community has over 3,000 children in the foster care system in need of a safe, loving, and temporary home. Can the Department of Family Services count you in, Rebel fans? To learn more about how to support our children in foster care, call 702-455-0181 or visit clarkcountyfosters.org.
When the lane's packed on the court, you go to the open player. When the lane's packed on the highway, you go to ProPilot Assist, the 2019 Nissan Rogue. Now with available Nissan Intelligent Mobility Technologies like ProPilot Assist that can start and stop in highway traffic all on its own. Nissan Rogue, for the win. Get to Nissan, proud partner of the UNLV Rebels.
Go!
ProPilot Assist is an available feature and cannot prevent collisions. Always monitor traffic conditions. Keep both hands on the steering wheel. See owner's manual for safety information.
Make your car shine at Showtime Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana. Full service hand washes, detailing, and more. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday, $11.95 early bird special. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana.
Shakur Houston trying to pressure him. Nichols just holding the ball. Now they get it backdoor to Fraser. Fraser kicks it out to Dosunmu, and Dosunmu can't get the shot off. 30-second shot clock violation. Great defense by the Rebels.
Good D.
Part of that outstanding team defense that we've spoke of in our first segment. We're at Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Steve Cofield, and joined now by the local. Young man who stayed home here in Las Vegas, Trey Woodbury, joining us. And I know it was a big deal for a lot of folks here, Trey, for you to stick around and play basketball at UNLV. We're thrilled you did, because we're looking forward to a great Runner Rebel career for you. Talk about that decision, if you would. What was the thing that made you decide to stay home instead of going elsewhere for college and play for the Runner Rebels?
There wasn't really a specific thing that made me, you know, decide to stay here, but it was just always a dream of mine to play for UNLV. I grew up watching UNLV forever, probably since about second, first grade. So all the teams and all the players that I've met over the years, it's been a dream come true to finally actually be on the team for myself. So it was the easy decision for me to become a Runner Rebel.
Well, as I said, we're all thrilled about it. I know. You kind of had a little setback when you got hurt in practice and you couldn't come out and you couldn't be part of some of the very early games. But that first time you got on the floor, coach pointed at you and you ran over to the scorers table. What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
I was a little nervous, but I was just excited for the opportunity. I wanted to do more, obviously, you know. The whole day I've been picturing, oh, I'm going to go in, I'm gonna, you know, hit a couple threes. But it wasn't like that, you know. It will come, though, and that first time it was just so many nerves and so much excitement. It felt really good to finally get on the court.
You obviously, you're a great shooter. You haven't been able to knock one down yet. And do you feel yourself, because I watch you, and Robert can speak to this much more than I can, but you look like you're rushing it just a little bit, and then after you take that shot, you can just see the frustration, almost like you're playing it back in your head, and you're going, right, gosh, right. I rushed that, or I didn't get my feet set, or I didn't square my shoulder, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think I'm just a little overexcited. I want that first bucket so bad, but it is what it is. I'm playing hard, and that's all I can really do. I can't control if the ball goes in, so I'm going to keep taking the right shots, and eventually they'll go in.
I got a two-part question for you.
All
right. You've seen a lot of Rebel basketball growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And I know how your dad is about Rebel basketball. So who was your favorite Rebel that you've seen or not seen? Mm-hmm. And who's your favorite opponent that's come here to play?
Not seeing Larry Johnson.
Okay.
Just because that's my dad's favorite player. And, you know, growing up, that was always the highlights he made me watch.
Right.
So I have some love for Larry Johnson. But my favorite player that I've seen is probably, I think I'm going to go with Oscar Belfield. He was my favorite player to watch growing up. Just the way he passed the ball, just the way he made big plays in big games. He was always the man. So.
Right.
And my favorite opponent is definitely BYU.
Well, I mean, you were a kid with the last time the Rebels played BYU. It's been 7 years.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Those games were crazy.
Right? Yeah. Are you thinking of the conference tournament games back-to-back where the Rebels beat them?
Oh, man. I remember I was with my dad and some family members. We had some friends. And I remember it was like Wink Adams era.
Yep.
And they were playing BYU. And I remember they won. And I just remember some of our family friends hopping over the little gate they have for the conference tournament, and they were all bowing down to Wink Adams.
That's so good.
It was a great memory.
Do you remember the sign? I'm gonna try to remember the year. It was Corey Bailey and Joe Dugar and I'm trying to think. Gosh, the sign you just lost to an air conditioning repairman, because that's what Corey did before he came back to college.
Is that right?
Two walk-ons, something, and a kid named Wink. it was one of the great fan sides ever. Those rivalry games were great, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But let's get back to you and your aspirations and your thoughts about your career as a runner rebel. You're just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it, you know, after being a star in high school? We talk about this all the time. That, you know, how hard has the adjustment been on every level to become a Division I college basketball player?
It's been hard, but I feel like, you know, I have a great coach and great teammates, so they've helped me through it. Obviously, I've been going through a little bit with my offense, but it doesn't really bother me. Like, I get in there and I play as hard as I can, and, like, I know my teammates have my back, and I know whether I hit that open shot or not that they're going to keep giving it to me and taking the right shots. So, you know, it's been a tough adjustment from – I feel like the main adjustment in high school, I had the ball so much in my hand. So now it's like I got to find a way, you know, to score through my teammates. And that's a little bit of a hard adjustment for me because I'm so used to having the ball. But other than that, it's been an easy adjustment considering I have all these great teammates and great coaches. So they've been helping me through it a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, you've watched other guys, you know, whether it's Oscar who, the memory I have of Oscar is him with that winning layup at Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
He remembers them all.
Absolutely. I mean, Oscar's, besides being a terrific point guard, but I think his career, like a lot of guys, could be a great model for you because, you know, Oscar's a freshman. Mm-hmm. There were fans, you know, and people saying, well, he's certainly not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe didn't appreciate the fact that it's hard to make that adjustment from high school to college.
Right.
And you've got to grow into becoming a Division I college basketball player.
Right. you know, it's just, it's a challenge. And every day, you know, I go to practice and I work as hard as I can, try to get as much better as I can that day. And I know that those shots will, they're going to fall one of these days. And as soon as I get it going, that momentum's just going to carry me and carry me. And it's just going to go downhill from there, and I'm going to just keep getting better.
Is there a noticeable difference trying to get your shot off? Like, can you see the difference in length and speed?
Oh, definitely. Especially off the dribble, trying to create for my own shot is definitely different from high school. You know, everybody's quick. Everybody's athletic. So it's definitely an adjustment. Off the ball, I feel like I've been able to get my shot. It's just not falling, but it will fall. So,
how about the local pressure? Do you feel it from friends and family? And I know Dad is pumping you up.
But, yeah. But
do you feel that local pressure?
I try not to, you know, let anything get to me in terms of pressure. But I feel like I feel more support from local people,
right,
than pressure.
That's good.
Everybody that I've ran into is super supportive. You know, keep your head up, keep playing hard, keep working hard, and eventually, you know, it will come. So rather support than pressure, I'd
right.
say.
Okay.
I would think that one of the hardest things I remember when I was 18, one of the hardest things is to understand the long view.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that, yeah, you know, you're in you know, the ninth, about to play your ninth game or be a part of your ninth game as a freshman in college, and your career, if you know, depending on how things work out, but it could wind up being 120 games,
right,
or more. And, you know, those last 60 are going to be a lot better than the first 60, just because, you know, you're going to be older and bigger and smarter, yeah,
wiser
and better. And is it? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever just kind of say, patience, Trey, I'll be okay?
I remind myself every day that, you know what, you have 4 more years to grow and get better. I tell myself that every day, literally in practice. Say I miss a shot in practice, you know, and I'm hard on myself about it. I tell myself every day that, you know, I'm just starting another journey. Just I always think back to my freshman year in high school and how I struggled with my freshman year in high school with, you know, bigger athletes, stronger guys, getting my shot off. So I always remind myself, you know what, I'm a freshman in college, so it's going to take time, but eventually it will come.
That is great perspective. Yeah. It really is. And I tell you what, guys, the thing I've been most impressed about by Trey is you go to practice, and when he's in the games, works hard on defense, doesn't let the little bit of a shooting slump that he's starting
right.
with to affect that, and toughness. I mean, you know, coming out of high school, we all heard about the shot. We all seen it. We'd seen the games, how good a shooter, how good an offensive player was.
Mm-hmm.
But he brings a little of that, you know, those shoulders can be a little sharp at times, and he brings some physical toughness to a position where the Rebels need it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm sure he's always been that way, you know. And I don't know if you remember when we had the little league down at Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. and you played for me.
Yeah.
Well, he and his friend were the youngest players on our team, mm-hmm. and I started them.
and with good reason,
exactly,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
So yep. what's the dream?
The dream? You know, win as much games as we possibly can. That's my dream. I mean, the goals we talk about every day, our goal for our team this year, the coach asks every day, what's our goal? And it's to win conference championship. That's our goal right now. So the dream for me, in line with our team's dream, is to win the conference championship. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
You having fun with the guys?
Oh, I love my teammates. JTT is one of my best friends. He's here tonight. We hang out all the time. I'm enjoying every day, man. I'm living the dream with, you know, my teammates. So.
College life. Yeah.
Anything special? Because he's next. So anything special we need to ask JTT when he comes up here? Remember, we're live on the radio.
I can't think of anything.
Nah, we'll come up with something. Trey, this is the first of many times we'll get to visit. Really appreciate you coming up. Keep doing it. Those shots are going to start falling, we know. And that local support will just grow and grow and grow.
All right, thanks
really
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Trey Woodbury, our guest. Fans, remember that the Marvin Menzies Radio Show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where they know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at StRoseHospitals.org/ER. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Sports Network from Learfield.
Make your car shine at Showtime Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana. Full service hand washes, detailing, and more. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday, $11.95 early bird special. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana.
Basketball season is here, and the only place to watch your Runnin' Rebels play on the road is Born and Raised, located on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern. Watch the game on our 106-inch HD projector screen, enjoy our Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra specials, and our award-winning Best of Las Vegas menu. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, is the only place to watch the Rebels play.
Insurance doubt can pop up when you least expect it, like when you realize your home might be in a flood zone, or when you realize you don't know what a deductible is, so you text mom and she replies with a 40-part answer, or when you're ziplining and aren't sure if your wedding ring is covered. If you have insurance doubt, call a AAA agent, visit a branch, or AAA.com/outsmart. Outsmart insurance doubt. AAA. Outsmart life.
At Walker, we make buying furniture easy. Let me tell you about Larry's Price, named after me. Larry's Price is honest, so you never have to worry about getting the lowest price, no matter when you shop. Larry's Price is unbeatable. It beats our competitors' so-called sale price in-store or online 7 days a week. We've already done the tough negotiations for you with suppliers I've known for decades. You can trust Larry's Price only at Walker Furniture.
The Learfield Director's Cup, the highly recognized mark of distinction in college athletics across all divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow your favorite team's pursuit for excellence in this prestigious annual award through thedirectorscup.com, USA Today, or at L Director's Cup on Twitter or Facebook. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics since 1993.
Imagine an ER waiting room with your favorite blanket and pillow, your cat's Pixel and Widget, and your mom's chicken soup. At Dignity Health, we know the only thing worse than being in pain is being stuck in an ER waiting room. So we offer InQuicker. You get an estimated ER arrival time online so you can start your wait at home. It's just another way of putting leading-edge medicine within easy reach. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Dignity Health, including St. Rose Dominican's Rose de Lima, San Martin, and Siena campuses in Henderson and Las Vegas. Hello, human kindness.
The Department of Family Services works tirelessly to ensure every child thrives in a safe, loving, and supportive home. But we cannot do it alone. Just like the Rebels need the offense, defense, and special teams working together to win, we need the entire community to come together as a team to support our children and their families as they work towards becoming whole again. To learn more about how to support our children in need, call 702-455-0181 or visit clarkcountyfosters.org.
Make your car shine at Showtime Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana. Full service hand washes, detailing, and more. With a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Monday through Friday, $11.95 early bird special. Uber and Lyft drivers get $3 off. Showtime Premier Car Wash on Jones and Tropicana.
Guys, basketball's a way of life. A game that puts you to the test. When every play can tip the balance to win or lose. The teammates depend on you, and you got their back. And the score... well, that's your measure of dedication.
We got next.
Finley Toyota's got your back. From purchasing your first car to servicing your existing one. We're the team that you want on your side. I'm John Barr, and I'll do anything to sell you a car.
No Rabatha. Cross-court pass to JTT. Doesn't take the three. Comes in the lane. Little floater rolls in. Good aggressive move by Jonathan. There he is, the soccer player, Jonathan. JTT, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, who's joining us here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. John Sandler, along with Robert Smith and Steve Cofield, visiting with Runner Rebel players and coaches on the Marvin Menzies radio show, getting ready for BYU this Saturday over at the T-Mobile Arena. The tip is at 5:30. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock over on 1100 ESPN Sports Radio with the Runner Rebel warm-up show. And before we get to JTT, just Robert, real quick, and
when Steve gets back up here, we'll get his thoughts on this. But this BYU game, it's a game that the fans have asked for.
Yeah.
Whenever you ask fans who they want on the Rebel schedule, BYU is one team that always comes up because of the great rivalry that existed for many years when BYU was in the Mountain West Conference and the great games that were played between these two teams. They're coming. They'll be here on Saturday.
Here.
Unfortunately, because of the way it was scheduled, it's not part of the season ticket holder package. You got to go buy the tickets. I know that's a lot to ask, but it's a game that the fans wanted. You know, it's always great. It would be great to see a big crowd out there, wouldn't it, Robert?
No, no doubt. And I'm sure the interest will be there, you know, knowing that it's BYU coming to town.
All right, let's turn our attention to Jonathan. JTT coming to us from Cameroon. If you remember Gaston Asenge, we were just talking about it off air. Gaston, former runner rebel from Cameroon, who Jonathan tells us was the captain of the national team there for many, many years. But we're here to talk about you. Jonathan, thank you. Merci beaucoup. Thank you for being here. It is great to have you. What has been the biggest thing for you, that the biggest surprise, the biggest happy moment for you coming to UNLV and being a running rebel?
To be honest with you, the biggest surprise and the best thing I found here was like the family that the coaching staff built here. And I really liked my relationship with my teammates. Like, we like a family. We love each other. We're taking care of each other.
You guys do a great job, and it appears that you have a lot of fun together. Obviously, the more you win, the more fun you have. You are not a guy who started playing basketball. I mean, Trey Woodbury probably had a basketball in his crib. But you aren't a kid who started playing basketball early. Soccer was your first love, correct?
Yeah, that's true. Started playing soccer, I think, at 2 or 3 years old.
Man.
And then I started basketball at 15 years old just because my brother was just, let's just try something new. And then I just fell in love with the sport.
So your older brother or younger brother?
My older brother.
How long did it take before you dunked on him?
About a year.
1 year?
Yeah, I was pretty athletic. I was pretty athletic even as a soccer player because I was playing on defense and I was also a goalie, so yeah.
What was the hardest part for you learning to play basketball?
I can't say the whole thing, like the basketball IQ, how to shoot, how to play defense, like everything.
Ball handling,
like everything. I actually learned. I learned most of my basketball skill in Australia when I moved because the infrastructure in Cameroon were not really great. So when I got to Australia, I got to learn basketball a bit more about the IQ, about the ball handling, about the shooting.
I don't know what you guys think, but I mean, to hear that he first picked up a basketball when he was 15 years old. How old are you now?
Yeah, I'm 19 now.
19. So, you know, 3.5 years ago.
Right.
And to see the progress he's made. I mean, Jonathan, there are times when you catch the ball on the block and you make a little move and that little jump hook, or when you spin and get to the basket, you look like you've been playing basketball for 20 years. Is it just natural instinct and ability, you think?
To be honest, I'm not really talented. I'm more like a hard worker guy. So I knew that I started basketball really late, but I fell in love with the sport. So I was like, I really love this sport, so let's just work out for it. It's why I always try to outwork everyone, get the most of every team practice.
So you played soccer from 3 years old until when? When did you stop playing?
15.
Okay, so that 12 years of soccer,
yeah.
Do you think starting off in a sport where your premium is your feet, do you think it's helped you in basketball? Because I watched your post move that John was just talking about. I'm like, wait, how old is he? How long has he played basketball
exactly.
for? I'm going to make an old reference, like a Kevin McHale or
yeah,
a Tim Duncan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, many big guys don't have great footwork, you know, at least not early in their career. So did soccer help you?
Soccer really helped me in terms of moving my feet and also be fast because I'm pretty heavy, but I'm actually fast and I jump really high for someone of my height and someone of my weight. And I think that comes from soccer, yeah.
Am I right on there, Robert, about footwork with
the
big guys? Not everyone has it when they're 18 years old.
Right, no, not especially bigger guys. But the one thing I noticed, all the players that I've had in basketball that came from soccer picked things up a lot faster because of the hand-eye coordination and the footwork. So that soccer probably really helped them out a lot because my better players were soccer players.
It's interesting. Jonathan, when you came to the States, so you were in Cameroon playing soccer, you went to Australia, yes, began to learn basketball, then where did you go in the States, and take us, how did you get to Las Vegas?
So I was playing in Australia, and then we had a kind of a tournament in San Francisco. And then is when I received my scholarship from UNLV. Mm-hmm. And then I had my visit like 2 months or 1 month later. When I got here, I just loved it. I love the enthusiasm of Coach Menzies and the family that the coaching staff built here. Mm-hmm. So I just signed.
And how are you doing adjusting to school and just everything, normal life outside of basketball?
I feel like I've been doing pretty good. I was already used to this kind of life in Australia because we kind of acting like pros there.
Right.
So I feel like I'm just doing good now.
What was your first impression of Las Vegas when you got here, seeing the lights at night and stuff? What impressed you the most?
It was way too hot.
Not impressed by the heat.
It was just way
wanted
too
to
hot.
Get out of here as soon as possible. Yeah.
Well, trust me, after a year or two, you get used to it, and it doesn't seem quite as hot, so that'll be okay. In terms of basketball and you individually, what do you think are the most important things for you to work on, to get better on, to become a complete player?
Right now, I'm just focusing on my rebounding and my defense because it's what the team needs me to do because we need to get wins. And then during the next couple of years, I might work on my three-point shots, work on my ball handling. So it just come together with time.
Both guys, they heard 3-point shots.
I was also thinking back to the game against Illinois when you were making the call of Mbaké's three.
Right.
And at first you were like, he's taking a three. And it was pretty good form, actually. He didn't make it, but it was like form is solid.
Try not to sound surprised. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. In terms of your family and back home, do you communicate regularly? Do you, you know, is it hard to be this far away from home?
It's pretty hard, but I'm trying to communicate with them every single day. I have a brother who's in Germany, another one is in France, and the rest of my family is in Cameroon. I'm trying to make sometimes video chats every day with them, so I'm trying to keep in touch.
Well, Jonathan, we are thrilled you're here. I can't tell you how impressed all of us are with your progress to this point. You're going to be a huge, huge contributor to this program over the next 4 years on and off the court, and it is an honor to have you here, and we love having you here, and we look forward to great things from you in the future, and keep that smile.
Thank you.
Jonathan, JTT, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, visiting with us. We'll take another break, come back with more after this. Fans, remember, Findlay Chevrolet is your home for Woo. Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo. Findlay Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Have you turned on your heater yet this year? If you haven't, it probably won't be long. When you do, listen carefully for a moment. Does anything sound or smell different than usual? If not, you're probably in the clear. If it does, calmly pick up the phone and call the Yes Man, because that funny smell or sound probably means you have a problem. Whether you need a new heater or just service for yours, the Yes Man will get it working and keep it working. Get the number in your phone, 888-4937, or visit theyesmancan.com. License 71246.
I'm attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Do you think insurance companies want you to hire an attorney? Why do you think they hire celebrities for their commercials? Do they hire them to gain your trust? Don't be fooled. Insurance companies want to pay you as little as possible, and it's my job to maximize your recovery and make sure you don't get ripped off. If you've been injured, call me, Matt Hoffman, or Justin Watkins at Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
On any road, at any time, a dozen different stories are flying by.
Don't worry, honey. You're going to do great at the spelling.
Be careful. There are always deer on this road.
That's why we at Interstate Battery sell some of the longest-lasting batteries in the business.
You remembered your speech, right?
At the light, and the theater will be on your
left. The suitcase? What do you mean you left the suitcase?
Because you can't finish a story that never gets started.
I spy my little...
I think this is the place.
Interstate Batteries. Find a dealer near you at interstatebatteries.com.
Guys, basketball's a way of life. A game that puts you to the test, when every play can tip the balance to win or lose. The teammates depend on you, and you got their back. And the score? Well, that's your measure of dedication.
We got next.
Finley Toyota's got your back. From purchasing your first car to servicing your existing one. We're the team that you want on your side. I'm John Barr, and I'll do anything to sell you a car.
Houston. Cross-court pass to Tomboy. A three for Tomboy is good.
With ball movement, you get easier look.
Coach Smith there imparting some wisdom. Joel Tomboy showing a really nice shooting touch from three. This kid is so intriguing with his length and his motor, as they say. Joel Tomboy is going to be a fun guy to watch as he learns to corral all of that ability and put it forth. As Coach Menzies joins us here, Coach, you got that. That's a kid like JTT who you just look at and you think, boy, give me a little time with him, and this could be a lot of fun.
Oh, there's no question. These went all four of the true freshmen, the scholarship guys, and then you look at Marvin Coleman's been really good in practice. And Bongai, who's redshirting this year, he's also making a lot of improvement. So, I mean, you really look at the core of the team, and you go, as far as the youthful
the foundation
core,
right,
team,
right,
man, it's. I feel really optimistic. Again, we got to go put in the work, and we got to get the development, and we got to, all things being equal, I just think that the town's going to be really, really happy with these young men and their careers when it's all said and done.
Steve brought up a good point. You guys, with a little bit of time off and some of the stuff, I know how things in the community are so important to you. Had the guys participate in a program where they went over to Sunrise Hospital, visiting in the children's ward over there.
Yeah, Steve and I were talking about it off air there, and it's it's real important to me. I think we've talked about this before that, I was raised in a home of giving back, with a giving back mentality, and not always philanthropic and monetary, but in time, volunteering, and just helping either wherever you can, give an assist, whether it's in your time, your energy, or volunteering somewhere. I just think it goes so far in terms of, you getting the blessings returned to you. It's far better to give than to receive is something I really believe in. So we get the kids together or the players together, and we'll go do a lot of different things in town. And some of them get publicized. Some of them don't. We don't do it for the publicity. But every once in a while, if it gets covered in this day in social media, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think Marvin was on one of the pictures, and so he retweeted it himself, just proud of how he felt, by being there. And he was at
– That's wonderful.
Life is just so much more than basketball, and they've got to learn all of that while I have them with me.
Yep.
Well, and speaking of life being more than basketball, it's not like the guys have been sitting up with their feet up eating bonbons this week with no game. There's a lot of work they've been doing.
Yeah, I don't even know if they still have bonbons. Right. Well, oops. You dated yourself on that one.
Look, I can't help it. I'm old. What do you want? And you tell me if I had a box of bonbons right here, you wouldn't jump in with
me? No. I'm on a low-carb diet. Yeah. A little, bringing it down a couple times. However, the sweet tooth kicks in after 9 p.m. But we're just talking about not just the giving back component, but the academic demands. Like right now we're in finals week, and it's a doozy. I mean, we're really trying to manage between keeping them physically and mentally engaged at a really high level so they can be as productive as they can for basketball, but at the same time alert and on point and ready to go and perform well in the classroom for the finals. So we're right at 2.95 right now. We're trying to get over the hump to get that all-elusive 3.0. We've had it three semesters in a row, which is unprecedented here. And so just to be at 2.9, they're not probably listening, so I can tell you this. I'm happy with it. but we've really been pushing to try to get the 3.0. So, and if we miss it, that'll be our goal to get, 3.2 or higher next semester.
That academics, I think it's something that the fans maybe don't appreciate, especially for the young guys coming in. It's a new world for them.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, when you talk to fans, like either at the grocery store or you're at the gas station or whatever, you'd be surprised how many people do
really that's
know
great.
That. Yeah, it's yeah. I was surprised too. They're like, "Great, you're doing great things, coach. Keep them studying." You know, I'm like, "Huh, really?"
Right, right.
So I think real fans care. You know, real. Las Vegas, they care. They give a darn about things like that because it's those young men are you know ambassadors for the program. So they want the right kind of kids in those wearing those uniforms.
You know what else fans here care about? Beating BYU.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if the players really understand
no,
that
they
as
don't.
Much as
they don't
as some of the you know old school folks here, but. You know, we've engaged them a little bit and told them a little bit about it, but I don't want that to be the theme. I want the understanding how to win the game to be the theme.
Well, we've got one more segment. We'll talk about your plan for trying to win that game on Saturday afternoon. Fans, there's so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Experience Bailiwick, All-American Pub and Eatery, food and fun. It's what they do. Savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans. We are at Bailiwick, our final segment coming up on the Marvin Menzies Radio Show. On the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Guys, basketball is a way of life. A game that puts you to the test when every play can tip the balance to win or lose. The teammates depend on you, and you got their back. And the score, well, that's your measure of dedication.
We got next.
Finley Toyota's got your back. From purchasing your first car to servicing your existing one, we're the team that you want on your side.
I'm John Barr, and I'll do anything to sell you a car.
The Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
Where you can win more, play longer, and let the good times roll.
Be relaxed in one of our spacious deluxe rooms and suites.
Be delighted while you play on one of the largest casino gaming floors in Las Vegas, all with your favorite slots and table games.
Be satisfied with 12 great restaurants, 70 bowling lanes, and 16 movie theaters.
Call 1-800-582-6278 or visit OrleansCasino.com to book your next stay.
Just minutes from the Strip, and parking is always free.
Here in Clark County, we love counting Rebel touchdowns, the seconds until another victory, and the thousands of fans in scarlet and gray. We also love counting those who say, "Count me in," to helping a child in need. Our community has over 3,000 children in the foster care system in need of a safe, loving, and temporary home. Can the Department of Family Services count you in, Rebel fans? To learn more about how to support our children in foster care, call 702-455-0181 or visit clarkcountyfosters.org.
Imagine an ER waiting room with your favorite blanket and pillow, your cat's Pixel and Widget, and your mom's chicken soup. At Dignity Health, we know the only thing worse than being in pain is being stuck in an ER waiting room. So we offer InQuicker. You get an estimated ER arrival time online so you can start your wait at home. It's just another way of putting leading-edge medicine within easy reach. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Dignity Health, including St. Rose Dominican's Rose de Lima, San Martin, and Siena campuses in Henderson and Las Vegas. Hello, humankindness.
Here we go. All right, back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, John, Robert, and Steve, along with head coach Marvin Menzies, BYU in town. Saturday afternoon, 5:30 tip over at the T-Mobile Arena. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock over on ESPN Radio 1100, starting at 5 with Runner Rebel warm-up. Coach, time of the year where you know, 8 games in, bumps and bruises. How's the health of the squad right now?
I think from a wide angle, we're pretty good. We got a couple guys dinged up. Shakur's knee is kind of tweaked, and we're taking a hard look at that right now to see you know how he's going to feel for the game. But I think for the most part, everybody else is good to go.
Steve, Robert, you guys know the rivalry that used to be. It's been 7 years,
yeah.
But those games with BYU were always huge. And Coach, you know. These young guys probably don't even know about it, but you do, I know.
We do. We do very, very well. And we're really kind of using their ignorance as bliss, hopefully. I don't know how many of the BYU players actually know as well. So we're just going to focus on what we need to do to go to battle, go to war, and we're going to, you know, try to give our best effort according to our scouting report and our energy, and we're going to play hard as heck and see what shakes out.
John, you hyped up?
Yeah, I'm excited. These games are always so much fun.
I always pitch this on air as good versus evil. you figure out which side is which.
All right, well, we'll figure that out on Saturday. Game time, 5:30. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock. Runner Rebel warm-up on ESPN Radio 1100. For Steve, for Robert, for Coach, for the guys, really appreciate you coming out. Thanks so much for Jared and Chris as well. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you Saturday afternoon. Have a good evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.